Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. We're a lot more than just baseball fans. We're baseball fanatics. And thanks to T-Mobile, we can stay connected to the game we love with 5G in more places. T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. So whether you're home or away, you're never far from your favorite team with America's largest and fastest 5G network. Don't get caught looking. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to OpenSignal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G experience report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, and welcome into SB Nation's American League Playoff Preview, brought to you by T-Mobile. I'm John Stolness from the Phillies SB Nation site, The Good Fight, and I am joined by a couple of fantastic baseball minds from the SB Nation community. Andrew Mearns from the SB Nation Yankee site, Pinstripe Alley. He's the managing editor and podcaster there. Follow him on Twitter at MearnsPSA. Andrew, I wish I could have you under better circumstances, man. Dark times for you all, but how are you doing the day after?
We'll power through somehow, but glad to be on here. I mean, the season was kind of a weird one, but, you know, so it goes.
We're going to talk about the Yankees and Red Sox wild card game. Unfortunately, Andrew's Yankees came up a little bit short in that one, but we'll tackle that game coming up here in just a minute. Also joined by Ashley McLennan from SB Nation. She does writes for a number of different sites. Bless You Boys, D-Rays Bay, and Bleed Cubbies Blue. Follow her on Twitter at 90 Feet From Home. Fantastic Twitter handle, by the way,
Thank
Ashley.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm pretty happy. I mean, I had very few horses in yesterday's race. As I joked online, I said I've never wanted so badly to watch two teams lose, because obviously I'm a big Rays fan. But, you know, based on how the season has gone in those comparative series, it really was an even toss up for Rays fans as to who was going to win that. Like, I think the season record was almost identical between the Yankees and Red Sox for Rays point of view. So I was fine either way, but I'm sorry, Andrew.
It's okay. I mean, I'm used to people rooting for the Meteor and most Yankees Red Sox matches. So.
That's pretty much how it goes if you're not from one of those fan bases. Absolutely.
And the bastion bargain we have.
Exactly right. And hey, they got the game in under 4 hours, which is a monumental
upset.
Task. Yeah, never saw that one coming. So let's talk a little bit about that game before we preview the American League playoffs. And obviously the Red Sox win 6-2, won it rather easily, surprisingly, as Gerrit Cole fails to get out of the third inning. Big home run by Xander Bogaerts in the first inning to get the Red Sox on their way. Kyle Schwarber went deep in that one too, hit a monster shot to put him up 3-0. And really, the Red Sox coasted for the most part. There was a big key moment in that game, however, when Aaron Judge got thrown out at home in the sixth inning with the score 3-1. They could have had runners on second and third with one out, really setting themselves up for a big inning. But well-executed play by the Red Sox nabbed Aaron Judge at home, and that was the ball game at that point. So, Andrew, I'll start with you. Just, you know, initial reaction from the Yankees season. They really had to hold on at the end of the year to get that second wild card spot, and in the end just didn't quite have enough horses to get over the finish line, did they?
Yeah, I mean, the problem was as it was pretty much for the entire season, which is that the Yankees had an extremely good offense on paper, but outside of Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton showing up, there wasn't a lot much else. They had some help from Anthony Rizzo in that wild card playoff game, of course. He had a home run and had one of the only other hits, but for the most part, it was just a lot of underachieving. Not much from Joey Gallo, who they brought in at the deadline, is supposed to do a lot. Obviously, Kyle Higashioka got the start over Gary Sanchez because Cole was pitching. But even if Gary Sanchez had started, he hadn't been hitting much late in the season either. And there just wasn't really a lot of support. And especially with DJ LeMahieu out of the lineup, he had an underachieving year as well. But even still, swapping him out didn't exactly help matters because he was out with a sports hernia. So at that point of the season, they were just running into a whole bunch of problems. And then when your ace doesn't really give you much of a start, that's not going to put you in a position to win.
And Ashley, let's talk a little bit about Gerrit Cole's start. I mean, Nathan Eovaldi had the best Fangraphs wins above replacement among all American League pitchers this year. So he had a great season, and he was mowing Yankees hitters down last night. Extremely efficient outing for him through five innings. But the big surprise, the big story coming out of that game was Gerrit Cole. And he had kind of struggled towards the end of the season, hadn't he?
He did. And I think the Yankees really did have an interesting season. Like, they started out really rough. And I think the first almost half of the season, people were like, what is this team? Is this a team that can even compete, or are they like calling it in right away? Are they going to bottom things out with the Orioles? What's happening here? And, you know, there's a couple people I follow online because I don't dislike Yankees fans. You guys are great. but there were a lot of people that were real true believers this season in what that core group could put together if, you know, if managed correctly, if used correctly, and if the proper pieces were picked up mid-season. And I think they really did put together a fantastic team throughout the latter part of the year. Obviously, they made it to that point where they could be in the wild card game. But I think, you know, you look at a Red Sox team that was really mowed down through most of the season, lots of illness going on there. We won't talk too much about that. But they were pretty strong throughout as well. And I think it just came down to two really good, evenly matched teams at the end of it. And it was really the starting pitching that helped the Red Sox, I think, make it through. Because if you can't count on Gerrit Cole in a wild card game, I mean, I think my favorite part of that was A-Rod on the broadcast going, oh, he'll do better in his sophomore year. And I'm like, I don't know who's going to break this to you, but this is his sophomore year.
Maybe A-Rod is just also pretending that 2020 didn't happen.
And yeah.
Yeah. No, so, we feel seen. Yeah.
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 Well, it all came down to a one-game playoff, and this has been some of the conversation, more so on the National League side, because you've got a 106-win Dodger team whose season is going to come down to a one-game playoff. In the American League, you had four teams that were really battling it out at the end of the season for those two wild card spots. The Blue Jays came up just short, despite that probably had the best baseball team not to make the playoffs based on their run differential by far with all that young talent. Really a shame they weren't able to get in. But the Mariners had the exact opposite situation, a negative run differential, and coming within a couple of games of reaching the wild card. But for it all to come down to one game after 162 games, I know there's a lot of conversation, a lot of talk about the one game playoff in the wild card, the excitement of having a do or die one game situation, or having it at least brought out to three games, if not five games, in order to make it simulate a little bit more like a regular season so that the better team might have a more of an opportunity to win. Ashley, where are you on the one game versus three game or even five game wild card?
I mean, in terms of baseball itself, the wild card is still fairly new if we consider it. Like, it's within the last decade. The way that it's kind of played out is still a relatively new system. And I like the idea that like a scraggling team that's like just near the top still has that opportunity to get in and win it all. I mean, what year was it? I think the Royals made it all the way to the World. It was two wildcard teams, I think, that year that made it all the way to the World Series. Yeah. And that is kind of like the underdog fight that you look for here, where it's a really fun and awesome way to say, hey, like, that's, you know, cool and that anybody can win this. But at the same time, I don't think anything can be based on a one game outcome. I think three games is probably the more fair way to assess it. But if you really look at the postseason in general, it's all small sample size. Like, it doesn't matter how well you do over 162 games. That just gets you there. I was looking at it in terms of if the Mariners had made it and the Rays had to face the Mariners mid-season, all regular season, the Mariners had the Rays number. Like, it was terrible. It was like, I wanted to see them make it because the Mariners have been so long out of the playoffs. But at the same time, I had no interest in the Rays having to face off against a team they did so poorly against in those small sample sizes.
Yeah.
So while I would love to see the wild card extended to a three game matchup, just I think for a little bit more fairness, I think that the entire postseason is skewed towards luck over skill in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and Andrew, I'm a one game guy. I think it's fun. If it was three games, I wouldn't mind that. But I feel like baseball doesn't have enough of those tentpole moments, you know. Like in some of these wild card games, the casual fan can come in and see, okay, it's one game for all the marbles. You don't have to invest a week of your time in order to follow through. And so you have these kind of marquee matchups here. In that way, I really like it just as far as the interest level for general fans, but whereas I can understand baseball fans might like the three-game series.
Yeah, and I could understand that too. I think there definitely is something to the point of wanting to give a little bit more incentive to actually winning your division, because I know that there were a lot of pennant races late in like the 2000s and early 2010s where, you know, both teams knew that they were going to be the division winner and wild card. And because there was no penalty for the wild card, there was not much to play for down the stretch. And if we had been under those rules, then we would have seen very little push from like the Dodgers and Giants to sort of get better than one another. Maybe you don't see a Chris Bryant trade. Maybe you don't see the Dodgers get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. So it's definitely something to trying to get these teams actually stay competitive down the stretch. And maybe if you want to find some way to make the wild card like a 3-game series, maybe that would be more interesting for baseball fans, for like really hardcore baseball fans writ large. But the populace as a whole, I think, understandably likes the do or die, you know, NCAA style, you lose, you're out, that kind of game. And I understand that. And I think that makes sense. Wouldn't surprise me, I feel like, at this point, just the way that the you know, the pedals are lining up, it seems like we're probably going to get some expanded playoffs in the next few years anyway. So who knows what will happen under the next CBA, if there will be another single game wild card or if there will be some sort of expansion. Maybe you have like two wild card games like for other wild cards, but I don't know. We may be at the end of it, but I understand why there's a lot of excitement around it. I mean, the 2014 wild card playoff between the A's and Royals is one of my favorite baseball games of all time.
Yeah.
And obviously, it was easy for me to enjoy as just a neutral observer. I have an A's friend who absolutely hated watching every minute of it. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those games are a special kind of torture that only baseball can give you. And it's a beautiful torture. But the Red Sox move on and they'll take on the Rays in the American League Division Series. And over on the other side, you'll have the Houston Astros against the Chicago White Sox. Obviously there's a lot of familiar faces here in this postseason with the Red Sox, with the Astros and with the Rays. And, as you look at these four teams, Andrew, right now in your eyes, who has the easiest path to get to the World Series of the four teams who are alive right now?
Of the four teams alive right now, I would probably say the Rays, because I think that they are a much better team than the Yankees and the Red Sox. And I think the only real AL East team that could have given them a challenge would have been the Blue Jays. And granted, I say this and, you know, the Red Sox could very well win three in a row because baseball works like that. It's weird. But the Rays, the Rays are a very talented team and they really handed the Yankees and Red Sox lunch to them throughout the regular season. And granted, that doesn't always show you what happens in the playoffs, but they know how to win. They rolled over the Yankees almost effortlessly over the weekend when the Yankees had everything to play for. So I think as long as they can get past them, then they'll face whoever wins the Astros-White Sox series. And I think the Astros, you could have a case for them as well, just because I think as much as I would like the White Sox to win that series, I think the Astros are the better team fairly easily, honestly. So they could have a smooth out as well, but I think the Rays are the team to beat in the American League.
Yeah, and Ashley, same question for you. And I just real quick before, because I know you write for D-Rays Bay, so this is one of the teams that you follow. I'm just amazed at how the Rays put together the team that they have. There was a graphic that MLB Pipeline put out earlier this week talking about how the different playoff teams were built. They have, of their 26-man roster starting the season, they have two free agents, which is by far the least of any team, 19 players acquired by trade and 5 from the draft. So we think of the Rays as this, you know, they draft guys and then bring them up. That's not how they do it. They are among the shrewdest traders in Major League Baseball, T-R-A-D-E-R-S, for the correct word here. So do you agree? Do the Rays have the easiest path? And how do they do it?
I think the Rays are a really unique case in baseball, and people like to pick on them as being kind of, you know, the poster child for cheapness and, you know, for a team that a lot of people love to hate and then everybody else just loves to forget about. And I think even going into most predictions for the postseason, people still tend to forget that they had a 100-win season, and they did so while losing most of the talented starting pitching they had last year. Blake Snell by trade, Tyler Glasnow by injury. Obviously, he's just had Tommy John, losing Charlie Morton to free agency because they didn't want to pick up his, you know, his extension. And they've done it all with, you know, a really strong group of young, talented rookies, but they've also done it, like you said, through trades. And that's what they do. They bolster and they fill their farm system with so much talent. More talent than any farm could feasibly need or use in a regular, you know, regular team season. and they make very smart, shrewd trades. And they are very aware of players who have been undervalued and underutilized elsewhere. I look at the things that Tommy Pham was able to accomplish when he came over from the Cardinals. I look at Randy Arozarena, who nobody, you know, had any real thoughts about, and was the longest running rookie, I think, of anybody that it was imaginable, and broke records all postseason last year and continued to be absolutely astonishing this year. So I think what really helps the Rays out a lot is that they find kind of those black sheep elsewhere that are maybe underperforming with a different team, Tyler Glasnow with the Pirates, and see skills and talents that they can develop with the unique kind of coaching crew that they have there, and really lean into that full force. And it's really apparent what they're able to do, because it doesn't seem to matter how injury hits them, because they still make everything work. Like, it's they invented the opener. Like, they find ways to make things work that shouldn't work and don't work as well anywhere else. And people kind of hate them for it. But I think that they do have the easiest path to the postseason, because, I mean, through the regular season, they used more different lineups than anybody else. They used, you know, different variations of starters more than anybody else. And I think it shows their flexibility and their ability to change on the fly for whoever they're facing. And, you know, I don't think there's a lot of surprises waiting for them when it comes to the Red Sox, for sure. Obviously, they had a better season series against them. And I think, you know, they just played the Astros like a week ago. So they're doing pretty okay there, knowing what to expect. And I think they have, I mean, I'm obviously biased, but I think, you know, they had the best team in the American League this year by any metric. And I think that really gives them a head start going into the postseason.
Yeah, it's amazing what they are able to do year in and year out. They just said they do have the smartest people in the world, because other teams have tried this. My Phillies have tried to do a lot of what they're doing, and they just can't. You just, for whatever reason, the brains in that organization are just on a different level. But there is a lot of, I think there's a lot of fans who don't like the way the Rays approach team building. You know, I think there's a lot of folks who wonder, wow, what could this team be? What could this team do if they actually spent money on players? And you're finding, I don't know, they could do a whole lot better, because they're, you know, a routinely 90 to 100 win team every year anyway. But there's obviously some fans who are not going to be rooting for the Rays for that reason. Same thing with the Houston Astros, who I think after this scandal, folks wanted to just shovel the dirt right on them. You know what I mean? And just kind of say, okay, chalk up that that World Series victory in 2017 to the trash can banging, and 2019 to sign stealing and whatever it was. And now here they are again in 2021 with Dusty Baker at the helm. A lot of these same players having won the American League West. Here we go again. How sick are you? How sick are baseball fans of having to deal with this Astros storyline now that it's coming back? Because you know the storyline is going to be, we want to prove we can win a World Series without the trash can stuff hanging over our heads. This is going to be a whole thing about redemption for the Astros here in the postseason.
I'm so sick of that narrative.
Oh God. Yeah. No, the Astros I'm so over to the Astros to the point where I was rooting for the Rays in the championship series last year. I cannot stand the Astros. I cannot stand their like attitude of like, look how much we suffered for it. When the players basically paid no consequences at all. They got booed a bunch. Oh no. Now you're like the Yankees. Congrats. It's like, yeah, that's not going to garner much sympathy from me. And like the grievances, and I understand that players do whatever they can to like get riled up about whatever they can to motivate themselves. I mean, that's the Michael Jordan philosophy. Like, even if it's just making things up to get yourself riled up, fine, whatever. You don't need to take it to the media and act like you've been personally attacked by this. So it's a very tired thing. And I really hope that the White Sox just sweep him out of the playoffs. I don't think it's going to happen, but I do think that they will miss George Springer a little bit this go around, just because he always showed up for them in the playoffs and was just a menace. But, you know, Kyle Tucker isn't exactly a schmuck replacing his bat in the lineup anyway. And they still got Correa. They still got Altuve. They still got Gurriel. So still got Brantley. Still got Bregman. So they are going to be a problem to deal with for both the White Sox and probably the Rays once they get that far.
Yeah.
The pitching is really good too. Low key.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a narrative that I'm really sick of hearing about. Like, I rooted for the Astros in that series, like mostly because Justin Verlander was on the team, and as a Tigers fan, I wanted to see him win a ring. But now I'm really sick of them, and I mean, Correa especially, I think, has really leaned into almost like taking on a villain role. Like, mm-hmm. he seems to really relish the way that people dislike the team and, like, uses it to feed himself. And, I mean, if that's what you got to do to win games, all the power to you. He's a free agent next year. He's going to get paid no matter where he goes. I mean, he's a talented player, but he's a real pain. but I would love to see the White Sox just erase them from the postseason completely so that we don't have to listen to any discussion about trash can banging or, you know, the cheat or like, oh, what will happen if the Astros and the Dodgers face each other again in the World Series? Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I just have no interest in it. And they are a great team. Like, there's no doubt about it. They're stacked with talent. I do think that they're probably a bigger risk against the Rays than the White Sox are, but I do think the White Sox have a super strong team. They've had a fantastic year, great offense, great pitching, really good stories out of that camp all season long. And they're just a fun team, man, like young, interesting, engaging talent on that team. And I'd kind of rather almost see that even though they're the White Sox.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. I wanted to get into the White Sox next because, you know, they are flying under the radar here as the postseason unwraps and unfurls itself. And no one's talking about the White Sox at all. They won 93 games, ran away with the American League Central. They've got young talent all over the place. Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, Tim Anderson. And you've got some veterans. It's a nice balance with Yasmani Grandal and Jose Abreu having a 30 home run season. So they've got a lineup that can hurt you in a lot of different ways. And then they have a strong pitching staff that, again, kind of underrated a little bit. Rodon has had a really good season. Dylan Cease, Lance Lynn having a Cy Young season. Lucas Giolito. I mean, this is a good rotation. All those guys wins above replacements of four or better, according to Fangraphs. So, I mean, you know, this is, Andrew, I feel like this is this White Sox team. They've got talent. They've got Tony La Russa. For better or worse, I know that it seems like an odd mix of Tony La Russa with this talent base. And I know I'm sure it didn't go over well in baseball circles when he was hired, but he's got a postseason pedigree. And so maybe that helps an inexperienced White Sox team here. What do you think?
I mean, it's possible. This is a core that really hasn't been tested basically since before the All-Star break. The White Sox have had this division under wraps for months and months. So they are ready, I think, to actually play some baseball that matters. And as you said, they have the pitching that they can line up. I think it will really matter how Carlos Rodon is feeling because he was sort of banged up toward the end of the season. Jose Abreu's a little bit under the weather, so we'll see how good he can actually hit or how well he can actually hit in the lineup. So there's a lot that the White Sox have to face in terms of question marks right now, but I think that if they are very capable of taking out the Astros, I just don't think that it's going to be enough. And I think the Astros are a little bit more battle tested and I'm not sure that Tony La Russa can make up the difference by, like, you know, sitting around and grumbling about the rally squirrel or whatever it is. But you know, But there's a guy in Tim Anderson who I believe he can do anything he wants. He could very easily become like a breakout star of this entire postseason if the White Sox go on a run. He's that talented, and we've seen him on the national stage. I mean, granted, you know, field of dreams game, whatever. But he came up huge in that game, and you could tell that he was relishing the spotlight in that. And he's a guy who I think would shine in that. They have so many good hitters in that lineup. Luis Robert's a guy that I don't think gets enough credit for how good a hitter he is and how far he can hit home runs. Yeah. I mean, in the playoff last year against the A's, the White Sox lost that 3-game series, but Robert was hitting some missiles. It was some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I think obviously the rooting interest, Ashley, is going to be on the side of Chicago in the series against Houston. And we're going to get to specific predictions in a minute. But, you know, does the White Sox inexperience, does that concern you at all? Or is it just, are we looking at strictly a talent thing here?
No, but I think in speaking of Tony La Russa, I think the White Sox have achieved what they did this year in spite of Tony La Russa instead of because of him. Mm-hmm. And I think that that shows kind of a really tight bond in that team and a real drive and desire among the players of that team to win. I will say that because they were in the American League Central, they kind of had the benefit of facing off regularly against four relatively not great teams. And I say that as a Tigers writer. So, but they're teams that didn't pose the kind of long-term real threat to them. I don't want to say it was easy games because there was a lot of competition there, but you know, it wasn't necessarily the same as playing against a team like Houston that is, like Andrew said, battle tested. They have that postseason experience year after year. They know what to expect on that smaller stage, like a shortened game stretch. And I think that that'll benefit Houston over the White Sox for sure. But I do think that there's like a scrappiness and a drive and a real like determination to prove themselves. That's going to be really fun to watch in that series.
Yeah, I think that might be the most, that could go down as the most entertaining series in the American League playoffs this year, yeah. You know, however far they get. Let's step away. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the players, some more about the players in the American League playoffs here. We'll do a three-way snake draft, four rounds of all the players left in the American League postseason, and we'll give our predictions and talk about which franchise do we think most deserves a deep playoff run. We'll do that coming up next here on the SB Nation American League Playoff Preview, brought to you by T-Mobile. And welcome back to the American League Playoff Preview, brought by T-Mobile. I'm John Stolness, along with Andrew Mearns and Ashley McLennan. All right, lots of great players in this American League playoffs. You know, for these four teams getting ready to try and hunt down a pennant here, and there's so many good players that we thought it would be fun. A great way to talk about who the best players are that are left in the playoffs would be to, for us each to draft a team of four, because if we did longer than that, it would just take too much time. But we're going to each go into a snake draft. So we'll go Ashley first, Andrew second, I'll go third, and we'll snake it around. So I'll have picks three and four. If you've done a fantasy draft of any kind, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So Ashley, started off with you. Who are you taking number one in the American League playoff snake draft?
Ooh, it's a tough call, but I'm going to go with Brandon Lau to lead things off. Wow. He just came off a nice three-run home run game, so I'm feeling good about Brandon right now.
Thanks to T-Mobile for supporting this episode and for keeping baseball fans around the country connected to the game. Because when you're on America's largest and fastest 5G network, you get more than great coverage. You get to stay close to your favorite team, whether you're at home or on the road. In other words, T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. Make the switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. Fastest according to Open Signal Awards based on average speeds and USA 5G experience report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Peter Kafka here, host of Land of the Giants, the podcast that explores the biggest and most important tech companies of our time. This season, we're examining the giant that changed what a computer is and then changed what a phone is. It's about a company that made world-changing products and remade itself along the way. I'm talking, of course, about Apple. Apple's runaway success comes from iconic leadership and one revolutionary product, the iPhone. We'll look closely at the story behind it, how they're made, who makes them, and the ramifications of Apple's ever-growing power.
They're a multiple trillion dollars company. Their size and their success creates responsibilities for them, and they're not behaving in a responsible manner.
When part of your brand is that you're good for the world, you are going to be held responsible.
Land of the Giants, the Apple Revolution, from Recode and the Vox Media Podcast Network. New episodes are out every Wednesday. This season is sponsored by Webflow. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Audible, and yes, Apple Podcasts.
That was unexpected. I was not expecting Brandon Lau off the top, but I mean, is he the most underrated player in Major League Baseball right now? You do not hear him talked about when you hear people talking about the best players in the game, but you've got him as the number one player in the AL playoffs right now.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of popular picks, but I got to go with my boys, I think. So I think he is wildly under. There's a lot of guys on that Rays team that really don't get the love that they deserve. Like, I could wax poetic about Joey Wendell for an hour if you'd let me.
Maybe another time. Yeah. All right,
Andrew. I think part of that is because during that Rays run to the World Series, it felt like Lau was kind of quiet for a lot of us. So maybe he didn't get as much attention on the national stage. But yeah, seeing him 19 times a year, just teeing off three homers against the Yankees the other day, he can hit. He's great.
All right, Andrew, you're next. Pick number two.
All right. I am going to betray a lot of my fandom, and I'm going to pick Rafael Devers because that guy can freaking hit. And I think he's one of the best hitters in the American League. I think he gets kind of a little exposed at third base. I think it's probably eventually his true position will be first or DH, but whatever, wherever he is in the field, it doesn't matter. Cause he is, I mean, he's the reason that the Red Sox are in the playoffs. They were losing against the Nationals game 162. He hit two homers, granted, you know, a bad Nationals team, but he still came up big for them. And he came up big for them again last night. So, you know, this is a guy that's great at hitting. And I always fear when he's in the batter's box, even more than Bogaerts.
No, no doubt about it. Devers is has really emerged as you know, he was a highly touted prospect, and some of those guys don't pan out. He has absolutely panned out for sure. For picks number 3 and 4, I'm going to go with another Boston player. I'm going to go with Xander Bogaerts. Again, he had the big home run last night. He's got an amazing swing. There are no holes if you're giving him anything anywhere in the strike zone. He can get to anything. You've got to really make him chase outside the zone if you're going to have any success against him. And Gerrit Cole didn't do that in the wild card game. So Bogaerts is a monster. I'm going to take him with my top pick at number 3. And then, you know what, Andrew, you were waxing so poetic about Tim Anderson. I'm making him my next pick here. Again, you're right. He has a flair for the big stage. I had forgotten about the Field of Dreams game when he hit the walk-off home run. And that was maybe the most electrifying moment of the season that I can look back on here, the 2021 season. He can do it all. He can do so many things for a loaded White Sox team. So give me Bogaerts and give me Anderson at number 3 and number 4, which swings it back to you, Andrew, for your second pick.
I'm going to take Lance Lynn. Because he's a guy that's just a lot of fun to watch on the mound. You don't see many pitchers like looking like Lance Lynn nowadays. But he goes out, he'll give you innings, and he's just a guy that the White Sox made a very savvy trade for to get before the season. And he's a guy that they can stick at the front of the rotation if they want to put him number 2. He can do whatever it takes, and he's very good at limiting runs, knows how to do it, and he's been doing it for a long time, and won a World Series under Tony La Russa. So, you know, there you go.
All right, Lance Lynn, and I remember a couple seasons ago when he was a free agent, I was kind of pushing for the Phillies to sign him. Never did I think he would be the pitcher that he's turned into. He's really been amazing the last couple of years.
He was on the Yankees a couple years ago and did not look like this.
No. He figured something out for sure. Yeah. All right, Ashley, you've got 2 picks now, your second and your third.
I'm going to go with Carlos Correa, because even though I don't like Carlos Correa, he is insane.
I was gonna say, you were just mean to him.
I will continue to be, but he is red hot in the postseason. So.
I was refusing to take him. So
I will take him. And then I'm going to take somebody who I think goes under the radar a lot as well on the Rays team, but is fantastic in the postseason, and that is Randy Arozarena. I should take pitching, I know, but I got to take my top picks while I still can.
Rosarain is a great pick. He's probably going to win the Rookie of the Year. I think the pitching in the American League is just down this year. There are no really great options. So as you're looking at the options, there's just not a lot there.
If Glasnow was still healthy, I would have taken him in a heartbeat. But,
yeah.
And I think he would have been in the Cy Young discussion. But obviously that is not how things played out this year.
Nope, unfortunately not. All right, so Ashley has taken her second and third picks, numbers 6 and 7. Andrew, it's time for your third pick.
I'll take Kyle Tucker. He's a guy on the Astros who is not really talked about as much, but he can hit as well as any of them, plays outfield, and has really slid into that role vacated by Springer pretty seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And because he wasn't really on the 2017 team, he gets noticed a little bit less, but he's a guy that at least when he's hitting, I can feel like, okay, I don't detest you. So it's good enough.
That's
for my
the bar. Team. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. He's a guy who can. He has 30 homers this year. Great from the outfield position. 147 WRC+. He's a guy who's great.
All right, and I'm going to go with the guy that I've never really been enamored by, but the numbers back it up, and he looked so good against the Yankees. I'm going to go with Eovaldi here. I'm not the biggest fan of him, but. He has shown something this year that I didn't think was there. And he backed it up in the postseason in a one game playoff against a decent New York Yankees lineup. So give me Nathan Eovaldi. And then I'm going to go with a young kid on the Rays who you just couldn't keep off base this year. Give me Wander. You know what I mean? I think he's a fun player. The future is unbelievably bright for a kid who is that young. and just has a knack for getting on base. Yeah. He's going to be a monster. I think he could be this year's Arozarena in the postseason. So give me Wander Franco for my final pick. Andrew, you've got one more here, buddy.
Yeah, I'll take Luis Robert. Because he's not going to show up on a lot of the leaderboards this year because he's limited to only 68 games. But he hit .338 with a .567 slugging percentage, .157 WRC plus. This guy can hit. He's also only 24 years old. And I think he's going to be a key part of that White Sox lineup for a long, long time. And I think he's the guy in the White Sox lineup. Actually, I probably fear the most, even above Abreu and Anderson. Those are some great hitters, but Robert can really crush it.
All right, Louis, I agree with you. I think Luis Robert he's been, like you said, last year, just, you know, crushing everything all over for quite some time. All right, Ashley, your last pick in our 4-round snake draft.
I got to pick somebody on the White Sox to even things out a little bit. So I am going to go with Lucas Giolito just because he is somebody I really like.
That's my
good
next
talent. Player. He's just a solid dude. I'm not a White Sox fan, but I do have a Lucas Giolito RotoWear shirt. So gotta represent that. So that's my final pick.
I must say, I'm surprised that none of us went Jose Altuve within these four rounds. But I guess I understand the reason why not. But the numbers for him this year were pretty good. We all trying to avoid Astros players, and I totally understand. So Ashley goes with Lowe, Correa, Arozarena, and Giolito. Andrew has Devers, Lynn, Tucker, and Robert, and I've got Bogarts, Anderson, Eovaldi, and Franco. I like my team best. So that's just the way it goes. All right. So as we have all these four teams now, we've got Chicago, we've got Boston, we've got Tampa, and we've got Houston. Which of these franchises actually most deserves a deep postseason run here? I think we all know which ones are the least, but which one is most deserving?
I'm going to go with the Rays. I think that they should go all the way. I know they made it to the World Series last year, and a lot of people will say, okay, well, they had their chance, you know. But I also think Game 6 of the World Series last year was one of the most exciting games of baseball I think I've ever witnessed. So, Game 6, Game
5?
5.
It was Game 5.
Yeah, yeah. Game 6 was the last game in the series. Anyway, that's fine. The Brett Phillips walk-off.
Oh, that was Game 4.
Yeah, thank
Game 4,
you.
Thank you.
They all series. Just get merged together in my head.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the best games I've ever seen, and I think that they really have proven themselves, and they think they are the best team in the American League this year and deserve to go all the way. So that's my pick. I think, you know, just about, I mean, they're all worthy, most of them, but I'm biased. Oh, yeah.
hard luck Tampa fans just can't get any championships.
They're really suffering,
up for championships in Tampa.
No trophies being circulated around there by any means. They just need the trifecta. Come on, they got to complete things a little bit.
I hear you. All right, so Andrew, who do you have most deserving of a deep postseason run here?
The White Sox. I wasn't gonna pick the Reds, Red Sox, or Rays for obvious reasons, and not taking the Astros or Rays either. So we're going to the White Sox, and I feel pretty good about this anyway because this is a very, very talented core that probably deserves a long run at some point. And even after, you know, the White Sox broke that World Series drought of their own in 2005, but no one ever really talked about it because, you know, this is a run that didn't really last for them. They only made the playoffs once in like the 15 years after that, basically. And then the Cubs came in with all their glory and won the 2016 thing and stole the headlines. But this is a White Sox team that deserves as much attention as can be given to a baseball spotlight. And maybe a World Series this year would bring that to people's attention. And I still feel like I sometimes hear more about like Patrick Wisdom than Tim Anderson in some baseball circles, and that's just not right. White Sox should get a lot more attention than they're getting right now.
Well, if they can pull off an upset against the Astros, they'll get that attention.
They'll be the darlings.
They will be, and I agree with you. I think Chicago, to me, is the franchise most deserving of a deep playoff run here. Because I agree with you, the 2005 World Series. I think the fact that it was over so quickly was also one of the reasons why we don't think about it, because it wasn't a memorable series. It was a time when, you know, they had that unbelievable starting rotation. You had one big moment, the Pitsednik home run, but other than that, it just kind of flew by and went over our heads, and we've forgotten all about it. And it is a fun young team, and I feel for White Sox fans because they are the redheaded stepchildren in that city. You know, like you mentioned, the Cubs are the marquee franchise right now. The White Sox look like they're going to be a good team for a long time and a better team than the Cubs for a long time, the way things are shaking out at the moment. So Chicago might be they'll never be a White Sox town, but for at least temporarily for a couple of years, they certainly could be. So that could be kind of fun. So we'll look to see. And I know Ashley, as a Cubs writer, you know, hoping for a quick turnaround with the Cubbies, but obviously the White Sox are the team that has the upper hand right now.
As long as it's not another 108 years, I'm fine.
What is funny is that the White Sox beat the Astros in that World Series in 2005. So maybe they could do that on the way to another World Series run. They're just in the same league now. So
there you go. Exactly. Hey, that's nice. I like that the synergy there is. That's right. Because that was so long ago. The Astros were in the National League, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, let's time make some predictions here. So we have the field set. We know it's going to be the Red Sox and the Rays. The Rays, obviously, with home field advantage as the team with the best record in the American League. The Red Sox having played a game against the Yankees just a couple of days before this series gets underway. The Rays are nice and rested. They can set their rotation. They can set their lineup. Ashley, let me start with you. Who wins this series and in how many games?
I think it will be the Rays, and I think it will be in 4 games.
Rays in 4. Andrew?
I think the Rays sweep. I don't normally predict sweeps, but I don't think this Red Sox team is that good. And I'm prepared to have egg on my face if they sweep the Rays, but you know, whatever. We'll go with it.
I'm with you. I think it's a Rays sweep over the Red Sox, too. I absolutely do. I think the Rays just come in as a well-oiled machine right now. And that's White Sox Astros. Andrew, how many games White Sox Astros?
I think the Astros take it in 5. I think the White Sox can push them to 5, but I don't think that they're going to be able to power through, especially if Rodon is limited in any way.
Ashley?
I'm going to take the upset, and I'm going to say it's going to be the White Sox in 5.
Hey, I
prefer
like
that.
Yeah, that would be better, certainly for everyone. The entire country would be welcoming that. I'll go with the Astros as well. I think experience is going to trump young talent right now. This feels like kind of a starter year for Chicago in the playoffs. So as we look forward now to the World Series, who wins the American League pennant, Ashley?
Obviously the Rays.
The Rays win the American League pennant. Should have known that was coming. Andrew, how about you?
Rays in 5 in the LCS.
I'm going to say the hateful thing because I know everyone's going to hate it. I think the Astros beat the Rays in the American League Championship Series and get back to a World Series that nobody wants to see. Nobody wants to see the Astros get back to the World Series. So it just kind of feels like that's what's going to happen.
Hey, Carlos Correa does. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. This is not what I want to happen. This is just kind of what I think will happen. The Astros are going to do that whole, you know, redemption tour thing. And they're going to use that as motivation over a Rays team. I think the Astros just have, I don't know. There's a little bit of star power on the Astros and that playoff experience. The Rays got a lot of it last year going to the World Series. So you can't really say that this is an inexperienced Rays team, but give me the Astros in 7 games over the Tampa Bay Rays.
I think Houston is going to be loud for those games too. And that's going to be like a home field advantage thing for them too. I mean, they won't have that necessarily in the LCS, but any game in Houston, they're going to have a ton of fan support.
Yeah. If they can win 1 game in Tampa, that might be enough in a 7-game series in the ALCS. But all right, folks, that's going to do it for SB Nation's American League playoff preview brought to you by T-Mobile. My thanks to Andrew Mearns and Ashley McLennan for coming on and helping to break down the AL playoffs. Make sure you check out Andrew's work over at Pinstripe Alley as he does the Yankees funeral dirge after their season ended against the Red Sox. And check out everything Ashley is writing over at Bless You Boys, D-Rays Bay, and Bleed Cubbies Blue. And you can check out what I've got going on over at The Good Fight if you want some depressing Phillies news as well. And also, if you want to hear about the NL side of things, we did a National League preview as well. So tell your friends about it. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is you get your podcast to catch both the National League preview and this American League preview as well. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'm John Stolness, and enjoy the playoffs.
Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. We're a lot more than just baseball fans. We're baseball fanatics. And thanks to T-Mobile, we can stay connected to the game we love with 5G in more places. T-Mobile is your ticket to the game. So whether you're home or away, you're never far from your favorite team with America's largest and fastest 5G network. Don't get caught looking. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G today. fastest according to OpenSignal awards based on average speeds in USA 5G experience report, April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.